Welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Brian Miller to talk about information. Dr. Miller earned a bachelor's degree in physics with a minor in engineering from MIT and a PhD in physics from Duke University. He is a technical consultant for IdeaShares, a virtual incubator dedicated to bringing innovation to the marketplace, and serves as research coordinator for the Center for Science and Culture. Welcome to the show, Dr. Miller.
Thank you.
Over the past few years, several articles have argued that the foundation for the universe is information. The most recent was authored by Philip Perry for the online site Big Think this August. It was titled, "The Basis of the Universe May Not Be Energy or Matter, but Information." Dr. Miller, would you describe how scientists are rethinking the role of information?
Certainly. Traditionally, what scientists believed was that everything was determined by matter and energy, that matter and energy were foundational. And then appearances of information-bearing systems like DNA came later and were simply a product of those materialistic processes. However, physicists and even some biologists are thinking a little bit differently. Now, a prime example is a physicist named John Wheeler, who pioneered the theory of nuclear fission with Niels Bohr. He also coined the term black hole. Now, to quote from his paper written for the Santa Fe Institute, he said, "Every it, every particle, every field of force, even the space-time continuum itself derives its function, its meaning, its very existence entirely, even if in some extents indirectly, from the apparatus solicited answers to yes or no questions, binary choices or bits." Now, in other words, what he's saying is that most details of our universe could have been very different, but their actual form in nature is the result of the information which underlies them. This concept is perhaps best summarized by physicist Paul Davies, who described information as the, quote, ontological basement of reality.
How does this observation relate to the argument for fine-tuning?
Oh, that's a great question, because the idea of information underlying nature can be a little bit abstract until you talk about specifics like fine-tuning. And the idea is that part of what this underlying information does is it determines the details of the laws of physics. So, for instance, gravity and the other forces had to have been set within narrow ranges to allow for the existence of planets, stars, and chemistry. And the narrower the range, the more specifically the values had to be set, the greater the required amount of information. Now, the information also relates to such fundamental rules of physics as what's called the Pauli exclusion principle. And this principle states that two electrons cannot reside in the same what's called quantum state or quantum energy level. And what this principle means is that if you look at atoms, electrons have to fill up higher and higher energy levels over time. And that's why hydrogen has very different chemical properties than carbon or oxygen. Now, if this principle weren't in place, you couldn't have chemistry. And the idea is that the fact that this principle applies to, let's say, electrons, but not to photons, is a choice which relates to more information which determines the nature of our universe. So if this choice or the information had been different, life would not exist.
Do similar ideas exist in the field of biology?
Yes. In fact, one of the greatest proponents of the primary role of information in the origin of life is Paul Davies, who I mentioned before. Now, he wrote a foundational paper on this topic called The Hard Problem of Life, and I want to quote from it. He said, "If one insists on attributing the pathway from mundane chemistry to life as the outcome of fixed dynamical laws, then our analysis suggests those laws must be selected with extraordinary care and precision, which is tantamount to intelligent design. It states that life is written into the laws of physics ad initio, which means from their inception. There is no evidence at all the actual known laws of physics possess this almost miraculous property." In other words, he is saying that life is very different from any other form of matter in the universe. It's much different from what we'd expect. As such, it seems so fantastically improbable that its existence suggests that the laws of physics had to be designed to bring it about. Unfortunately, the actual laws of physics do not seem to be designed for that purpose.
Then how does he explain life?
Well, here's where the plot thickens. He later states in the same article, "Here it seems clear that it is information content of the genome, the sequence of bits, and not the chemical nature of DNA as such, which is, at least in part, quote, calling the shots, unquote. On practical grounds alone, we need to remain open to the possibility that the causal efficacy of information may amount to more than a mere methodological convenience, and might represent a new causal category not captured in the microstate descriptions of the system. What we term the hard problem of life is the identification of the actual physical mechanism that permits information to gain causal purchase over matter. This view is not accommodated in our current approaches to physics." Now, in other words, what he's saying is that the foundation of life is something beyond physics and chemistry. Instead, it resides in the information which specifies how the atoms are arranged, a prime example being the sequence of letters in DNA. He also talked about how information has some sort of, quote, causal power. And this causal power to arrange matter cannot be explained by our current approaches to physics.
His statements seem very close to what ID theorists have been saying.
Well, you're correct. In fact, ID proponents, particularly Bill Dembski, have stated for years that scientists would eventually have to come to grips with the fact that the foundational components of our universe are not simply matter and energy, but also information. Now, the main difference between Davies and ID theorists is that the ID proponents argue that the causal power does not reside in the information itself or some mysterious unknown laws, which are completely different from anything we've ever seen, but it is generated by an intelligence which embeds the information in matter.
Might Origin of Life researchers challenge Davies' claim that natural processes could not produce life? Do they not often refer to experiments which they claim have produced the building blocks of life?
Well, actually, if you look at pretty much all the Origin of Life research, they both reaffirm Davies' argument and the claims of ID theorists. Because the Origin of Life experiments typically fall into two groups. The first group is experiments that try to accurately model what actually took place on the early Earth. They try to use, for instance, gases that could have realistically been in the atmosphere. And what these experiments produce is nothing of significance. They might produce the basic building blocks of life, a few of them, but most would have been produced in extremely small quantities or not at all. Now, the second class of experiments, which do produce things like nucleotides, what they do is they're highly orchestrated. They use multiple steps. And what each step does is it uses very specific initial conditions of chemicals, the right temperature, the right energy source, or the right frequency, with the right catalyst and other helping chemicals. And what happens is after each step, what the experimenters do is they collect the specific outcomes of each step that they want, they purify them, they concentrate them, and then they remove all the other contaminants. And then when they start the next stage, they create new conditions, which are often different from the previous step. They add new catalysts and other chemicals to help, again, to produce what they want to produce. So these multi-stage experiments are incredibly orchestrated. And they're so unrealistic, they do not, and this is their argument, is often people will say that they do this in order to accelerate what would naturally happen on the early Earth. But because they're so different from the early Earth, they don't accelerate what would have happened. They produce things and results which are completely different from what could have actually happened. In fact, a good critique is produced by Robert Shapiro, who is a very well-known Origin of Life theorist. What he said is their arguments are a lot like a golfer who plays an 18-hole round of golf and then takes the ball out of the 18th hole, puts it at the beginning of the first hole, and argues that he's proven that the natural laws of physics, that sunlight, at wind and erosion, and perhaps an occasional chipmunk, would cause that ball to play those same 18 holes in the right order all by itself. That's a very apropos analogy, because you would never see on the early Earth the right conditions at the right timing to produce what these experimenters produce. In fact, what happens is these experiments actually show the need for information. Because one way to think about information, it's anything, any choice that limits outcomes. And because these theorists have made so many choices which were so precise, for instance, if they used an energy source, they would use one frequency at the right intensity for the right amount of time to get the outcome they wanted. And because these choices constrain the outcome so much, it essentially equates to them providing large amounts of pre-existing information. So this simply reaffirms the claim of the intelligent design community that information is foundational and must pre-exist the origin of life.
Thank you so much for coming on the show with us, Dr. Miller.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This has been Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.